Okay, this is the first lecture of the third week of the, I guess this is August 22nd, isn't it?
Yes.
7th London, 1st St. Hill. It's a little bit difficult to talk to you today because you have been surrounded, crisscrossed, reanalyzed, and stood up and looked at. And no particular reason to let you in on it. Could talk to you about the basics of why auditing works and tell you something about this. You'll find the clearest rundown of why auditing works in the original thesis, 1947. The original thesis gives you several laws with regard to auditing. And these add up briefly as follows, that the PC is less than his bank. This is just an apparency. Obviously, he must consider that he's less than his bank or he would not take orders from his bank. Obviously. So he must feel that he is into something that is overwhelming. That's what he feels. Therefore, you have PC less than bank. Now, you have auditor plus PC as a combination in an auditing session, which, when it occurs, gives a factor combined greater than the bank. Auditor plus PC is greater than bank. Now, we see then that if the auditor is subtractive from the PC, that is to say, if the auditor is not helping the PC, but is hindering the PC in some way, through lack of communication, understanding, and so forth, we of course have the PC far less than bank, because we have PC minus auditor. And of course, PC is already less than bank, so PC minus auditor is of course much, much, much less than bank. And you get the overwhelmingness that you occasionally see in a session. In other words, we get a subtractive line, and bank becomes more authoritative. Now, of course, the bank becomes more authoritative when you turn the bank on. So you have to have the PC plus the auditor to turn on the bank. And then, of course, the bank appears to be more authoritative because it is having command value on the PC, but in actuality is running out or being bested. But if you have an ARC break, it works something like this. Auditor plus PC was greater than bank with bank turned on. Now, if you reverse the situation and have PC minus auditor with the bank turned up in full, you'll get a collapse of bank on PC. Got the situation? Well, that is an ARC break. Now, if we look at this in life, we find this is a very elementary thing. We find a group of fellows busy doing something in life. And one of them's holding up a heavy weight, and the others are supposed to pull a line, you see, to assist this heavy weight. And instead of pulling the line, why, somebody cuts it, you know. And immediately some object squashes a team member. You've got the same situation in life. That is an ARC break. Now, an ARC break could be defined as sudden cessation of help for your purposes. This is not in the original thesis, of course. Sudden cessation of help will bring about an ARC break. That's another way of expressing this thing, ARC break. Well, that's merely a drop of communication, drop of affinity, and a drop of reality, and all these summate to a drop of help. Now, help was expected and was counted on. There was a dependency, and all of a sudden it broke down. So we get a consequent reaction on the part of the PC, which brings a down curve of ARC, and that is the anatomy of an ARC break. Now, it's necessary to keep ARC breaks patched up, to keep the auditor plus PC greater than bank, don't you see? And the more ARC breaks that you leave unpatched up as you are auditing, why, the more instances you have where the PC became convinced that the bank was greater than he was. So this actually is the only thing that can depress a profile on testing. It's quite remarkable. Quite remarkable that you could depress a profile on in auditing. It couldn't possibly be auditing, so it's a misnomer. Now, a present time problem left untouched brings about a stopped profile, at least for that session. In other words, there's no change of profile. That's a present time problem. That's all a present time problem has power to do, is just render the auditing null, if not immediately and directly attacked. An ARC break, however, can depress the profile. This is so much the case that we get very used to analyzing profiles. You can take profiles and zing, bang. I don't care anything about trilogies or trautotomies or the left-hand side of the Rudy rod of the characters who originally were using these tests. We care nothing about that because they built a test and then said it couldn't be altered. You know, they said nobody ever changed on this test, and that's true. This type of tests under psychology and psychiatric handling remains unchanged, except occasionally to drop. But literally millions of these tests over a period of many, many years in the hands of the psychologists, phrenologists, whatever it is, have demonstrated that man doesn't change. Well, we've screamed loud enough about testing. They've already proven the test doesn't change. So then we should demonstrate the only change factor could possibly be auditing, don't you think? And the University of Iowa, it's a school in the Middle West, comes right after kindergarten, heard us over enough years, and it finally sank in, you know, like a repetitive datum. And we kept saying, well, why doesn't somebody validate psychology, psychoanalysis, or psychiatry? We've actually gotten this thought around now. Because, of course, Scientology is the only validated activity in the field of the mind. It's the only validated one, the only one that's ever released any tests or results. Okay? These other boys... with their pomposus, I've been going on with speaking from a wildly authoritarian point of view about bums and quacks and charlatans and so forth, and they ought to be careful of what overts they're putting out, because they sure come home to roost. They're a bunch of phonies. I mean, I wanted to make a technical statement with regard to their state of case. So they keep pretending that they're doing something, you see, and pretend madly that something is happening, when as a matter of sober fact, any test program on what they're doing demonstrates that the case either remains unchanged or drops, and that the case is never at any time improved. The way they excused this was to teach everybody that it was impossible to change the IQ and impossible to change a profile. Isn't that interesting? But the University of Iowa, getting a hold of one of our bulletins, in which it was snarlingly and sneeringly said, why don't they validate themselves? Why doesn't somebody test some students before and after? actually did so and found out that after a year of college, they got an improvement of IQ on the part of students. And they finally have found out that the test changes. Not that it's changed by psychology or phrenology or anything of the sort, but that it was actually changed by education, which of course you would expect. The discipline, the control of classes over a period of a year and so on could be counted upon to shift somebody's IQ. So they found out this changed their profiles a little bit, and they're wildly excited. Wildly excited. About 10 years after we did it, they have a new scientific data museum. It's brand new. It's just happened, making headlines. They're pretty good. Dennis, according to, what's the name of the magazine? Newslife. Newslife magazine in the United States, have just found out that people can hear under anesthesia, and so have begun to utilize the fact by giving them suggestions while they are out that they will get well and heal rapidly. They were driven to this by the fact that annoyance of patients with their dentists was so marked on various occasions that they went back to find out what it was, and it was unthinking remarks on the part of the dental team or the anesthetists and other people around the patient. Well, this has just become headlines. Only they're now using it to give an implant. By parking the fellow on the track, you see, at the moment of anesthesia, why, they, of course, make him get well faster and make him feel better about it all. This is all they have learned out of Dianetics. Now, 10 years ago, that datum started to be shoved down dental throats. 10 years ago, and they've now learned that it's useful to hypnotize people with it. Now, don't give up. It's just a third dynamic comm lag. That's all. Right now, if the world is angry with us at all, it is simply here and there where it is. For instance, we just found out that the BUMA, that's an organization here of medical doctors, we just found out it wasn't the prison chaplain that was denying a young prisoner books on Dianetics and Scientology, but it was the BUMA. In the person of the prison doctor, who hasn't any business whatsoever in the field of morale. And we also found that the Home Office was not denying him categorically the right to take an extension course. This boy was a juvenile delinquent, found the book, snapped out of it, found out what was wrong with him, and was rolling on up the line, and all of a sudden, as stated to us, the prison chaplain and so forth, was denying him this. And then said, no. See, no, you can't have any. We took it up with the Home Office, and we were again told, no, he couldn't study Dianetics. No, he wasn't permitted these bad books, and so forth. Now we find out the Home Office didn't say anything like that. We find out it wasn't from the prison chaplain. Nothing of the sort. It was from the BUMA. That's a tribal group. But what is the prison doctor doing handling morale problems in a prison? Well, from this point of view, we occasionally get people a little bit upset with us out in the society. They're the vested interest. They succumb last because, frankly, they feel that they would be through. They have put out many bulletins amongst their own members in the United States and England to state that this must be stopped or else. If we didn't know what we were doing, they would not be worried, I assure you. But they have put themselves in an unfortunate position of having many overts. And their overts mount up, 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 up. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? One fine day, we will accidentally sneeze, or they'll hear a tape like this one. And they will say, motivator, thud, collapse, propitiate. Then they'll know how to treat a babyectomy or whatever they do. Well, they don't know how to treat that. They'll have to have a statue of a Scientologist in the office before their spells work or something of this sort. They'll go into propitiation, and they have all that way to climb now up. First, it'll be overts, overts, overts as they've been going, and then propitiate, see? And then up through propitiation and back up the line. Well, I'd much rather they took it at an easy, smooth run. I would. It's much easier. But they are a sort of a PC, if you want to phrase it that way, who is still mad with the auditor. Hasn't found out there's an auditor there, but there's somebody to be mad with. Somebody to be mad with. That's about all it amounts to. Somebody is trying to drive this PC into a sensible course of action, and the confusion still flies off. Now, you want to know if your pressure against the society or what you're doing has any influence. Well, I assure you it has tremendous influence. It's rather fantastic, the amount of people that you talk to and so forth may not seem very much to you. And this line goes something like the erroneous, non-duplicated line of a group of soldiers. You tell the first soldier, you know, 0 hour is midnight, and he whispers it to the next one, and the final soldier receives it as, tea is ready tomorrow. But nevertheless, something gets to the other end. Something gets there. I don't think that this is not effective, because it is effective. And we move up along more lines than you think. For instance, bulletins and things like that are reprinted in some of the confoundedest places. There are some bulletins, as soon as anybody gets hold of one of these bulletins, oddly enough, we know exactly what is received and where it goes. It's very interesting. There are dummy names in our files and things of this character, you know, and they get reprinted. Well, Scientology is the only game where everybody wins. But here, they'll win too someday. But here we have a situation on the third dynamic where the PC hasn't yet found the auditor and is going yickle-yack, criticize, criticize, yickle-yack, you see? Don't look at it any other way, because it's not a case of them being challenged out of mind. They are wrong when they believe that they would be totally displaced by Scientologists. We could use, at this moment, if we were clearing Earth, every psychologist on Earth in a testing capacity and in handling people. We could, just like that, bang. They would no more be out in the cold than the man in the moon, but they wouldn't be able to play their little trick game of dreaming up some wild story to tell some government, so the government will hire a company of friend Joe at some enormous expense to sit around and do nothing. They are wasting funds in the psychology field very badly. And in psychiatry, all they're doing is trying, they'll eventually almost break the back of the state. They keep saying there are only 3,400 psychiatrists in the United States. They've been saying this for many years. So their loss at the top or into the asylum must be their intake at the bottom. Don't they even want their fellow colleagues fished out? See, the more they buck somebody that can, why, the more they put themselves in the spin bin. And the numbers of insane are increasing, 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 increasing all the time. Well, no society can stand this tremendous loss of manpower, on the one hand, and, again, the tremendous drain of having to take care of the lost manpower after it's lost, don't you think? Mm-hmm. They talk about war being a strain on the economics of America and England and other Western nations. War is no strain at all compared to the strain of indigence and insanity. It's something on the order of one out of every 15 workers. Did you know that? Well, how about it? How about it? Actually, wartime so-called preparations or rocketry or that sort of thing, probably, it takes a lot of money and so forth, but it wouldn't break the back of an economy as fast as this increasing figure of 1 out of 15, which after a while becomes 1 out of 10, don't you see? Because it isn't being stopped. Now, that can break the back of an economy faster than anything else. But who's paying for this vested interest at this time amongst the psychologists, you see? But the psychologists. Who's paying for this? Because these fellows are struggling along and having to keep up a continuous overt act going. You see, they pretend they know and they do something about all of these various industrial problems and so forth, and nothing is done about these things. And who pays for it amongst the psychiatrists but the psychiatrists themselves? They yap, 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 and then one day they're in Ward 9, see? Overts, overts, overts. Every time they lay a patient down on an electric shock table and let him have it, probably doesn't hurt the patient. But look at the overt. Man, man, look at the overt. Wow, wow. How would you like to be in a business like that? I'd much rather take the electric shock. I got a light out here and try to keep the mildew from forming in the Lincoln. I got an electric bulb out there, and it has the world's most horrible electrical connections. We get electricians around here occasionally that are just as much frauds as some of these guys with pomposas. And they set you up some of the weirdest rigs you ever heard of. But unfortunately, I told some electricians the last time they were down here to fix that thing up, you see. And they didn't, and I tried to fix it up, and I didn't. So, not being an electrical genius. I don't know, every fifth or sixth time I pick it up, I get the equivalent of a psychiatric electric shock, you know. Tingles, makes your fingers tingle. 240 volts through the palm. See? Pow! All it is a mechanical shock, you know, bang. You get up after a while to tolerance of this sort of thing because of familiarity. And I've finally gotten so amused by this, I haven't even bothered to change the electric light fitting out there. You know? Pick up this bulb, take it out of the Lincoln, hang it up. It slips, I get 240 volts, hang it up back on its nail again, fix it up. What's the difference? No, no, getting electric shocks didn't hurt you any, but giving them out to guys that couldn't take it did. Yeah, that's another picture, don't you see? So here are these poor guys. As far as dentistry is concerned, I'm sure that the tooth plumbers could make a living somehow. I'm sure they could. Maybe not fixing teeth, but doing something. The horrible part of it is you can turn off somatics in teeth. If you don't believe it, why, just rehearse some of your old assist lines and things like that. And if that fails, pick up the whole track thing on the beach and fix up the exploding mollusk or some of the engrams on there. You'll knock it out. You can handle toothache. There's nothing much to toothache. If people are being driven to the dentist because they're afraid of toothache, why, there it is. So maybe the dentist would lose something, but I'm sure everybody'd like nice, shiny, bright, white teeth or something. He'd go into a specialty as a beautician or something of this sort. He wouldn't be totally lost. We're not trying to cost these people their jobs. And they'll win after a while anyway. If we keep at it. If we keep pushing it. Because all we've got to be is greater than the force of them fighting their banks. Now, the moment that we get so that us plus the psychiatrist is greater than the combined psychotic bank that the psychiatrist is trying to handle, the psychiatrist will listen and take orders from us. But until we are that great, he will simply be confused about us because we are a weak auditor. We're not auditing directly in this line. As a matter of fact, in the United States, psychotics come up to the front door. We say, never heard of you. Skip it. Because we haven't facilities to handle them. You require hospital-type facilities to handle real psychotics. Real ones. They make a lot of psychotics or tell a lot of people they are psychotic or give people electric shocks or things like that because they are psychotic that aren't psychotic. They just can't differentiate along the line. I'm talking about a real raven roaring one. When you run into a real raven roaring one, man, you know it. No doubt about it. It's not any borderline case. And we just don't take enough responsibility in this particular line. Well, that's basically because we got lots to do and we haven't the facilities to care for it. It doesn't mean we couldn't handle this. We've been curing psychotics one way or the other with such crude lines as running engrams since 1950. It used to take us an awful long time to do something for a psychotic. Wow, it just used to tie up an auditor for practically forever, but it doesn't take that long now. You could run on most psychotics the same process as you'd run on any other PC, and he'd recover. But you as an auditor have to be greater than the person who is trying to handle a psychotic bank. You see, you plus that person has to be greater than his bank. Well, when that person is so not there that his bank is totally knocking him all over, you see, look how big you have to be as an auditor. Look how much order you have to be capable of handling. Now, the more order you're capable of handling, why, the more auditor is there. And as you get processed, completely aside from putting your eye on this, as you get processed up along the line, you'll find out that you just bring more and more order into your environment. No overtness of working at it, but just because you were there, you do. Order is the first thing, and chaos is the second thing. It isn't as the religionists would have you believe, that all was chaos and somebody brought order to it. That isn't right. If there was order and somebody worked like hell and brought disorder to it. See this? So the more capable a person is of order, or of bringing order to something, the more order occurs. Hasn't anything to do with what he does to make it occur. You get it? It's just the more order occurs. It's just, that's it. You could actually get 9 feet tall and then 11 and a half feet tall just on the subject of order. And just because you were there, order would occur. This is a very interesting viewpoint, because it's a more natural thing than disorder. Now, of course, the more order you're capable of bringing about just by your presence, and because you're in good shape, the more results you're going to get on a PC. Now, the knee plus ultra of this thing is you get so good on this, you yourself are so capable of order, that all you do is look at somebody and they disinterbulate. Not because you threw a bunch of magic mumbo-jumbo, see, and said, well, I've been pegged up here on this here X mark here for a long time, and see how I have suffered, and therefore, you know, a bunch of bunk. No bunk connected with it, you know, you just are, and he gets well. Got the idea? Well, now that is magical healing. That is the key of miraculous healing. Now, we can take you plus processes, plus an address, entering in and improving and increasing the self-determinism and the ability to bring order on the part of the PC, and we can still get the job done, don't you see? But we cannot subtract you totally from the processes in the system as an auditor. See, just because you run through a phonograph record, nothing will occur. You see, you have to be there somewhat in order to make something occur at the other end, right? Well, part of you being there is your altitude. And your altitude has a great deal to do with this. And, of course, your altitude in a class couldn't be worse. You may be a big shot and really something on a stick in your immediate environment with your group, but in a class, you know who you are, and you know who he is, the other student, you see? Got the idea? And you're just students, and your altitude is a bit reduced by the fact that you have, you are learning. And this fact is made terribly apparent because your auditor is daily being instructed, which, of course, reduces the amount of potential altitude, don't you see? So in a class like this, to get results, you've got to be 9 times as big as life. See? Everything militates to reduce your altitude because you're just another student to the person you're helping. Therefore, I have very little altitude. Now, this is peculiar to classes. And every time I turn around, results which are being obtained in HGCs with exact rundowns have to be gunned up in a unit. Why? Well, an HGC auditor, after all, has considerable altitude over the PC. And your altitude over your PC is practically zero in a unit of this character. It's something peculiar to a class, don't you see? All right. Now, this is further distracted by the fact when you were taught up close to me and with very famous instructors. This again makes you tend, as an auditor, to throw the responsibility for the running of the case upstairs, which further reduces your altitude. So this auditor plus PC is greater than bank gets microscopic. The additive of the PC, you see, well, he feels confident, at least he's in class, so that he's probably a little greater than a bank. You know, I mean, made a little bit greater than he would be otherwise, but not greater than the bank yet. And now you, as the auditor, add something that's absolutely microscopic to this weight, having no altitude, and you get processes which work perfectly all right in an HGC or in the field, you see. You get these processes with less workability in a unit of this character, so we always have to beef them up. And that, of course, has just occurred in this unit. Now, what we're doing is running a process as a precession, which is calculated to do this, which is just what it is. Actually, it increases the auditor's altitude by decreasing the PC's resistance to being audited. Got that? This is real tricky. I get some of the brightest ideas sometimes. And the auditing commands you're running at the control point of precession, which I advised you earlier in this course had not been buttoned up, you can consider at this moment buttoned up. As we got control, what is the precession process for control? And that is two categories. One is what order was disobeyed, and the other same category and thing is what intention was not followed. Now, these two things, of course, do reduce the PC's reluctance to follow the auditing command. Of course, then, increases the altitude of the auditor. You got that? So if you want to increase your auditor altitude with the PC, just run the living daylights out of either one of those processes. Now, this isn't making the PC weak-willed, as he will think at once. It's actually showing the PC how he's all tied up on the track and why he is all tied up on the track. Of course, the PC is a long and involved mass of incompleted cycles of action, incomplete because the intention was not followed. So the incomplete cycle of action then winds up the PC in stops, 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 and resistances all over the place. So along with this process, we also get a one-shot clear process. We're disrespectful of it because we bury it into precessioning. But nevertheless, remember, it's a one-shot clear process. If the PC could run this without his having this go to pieces for intensive after intensive, why, he would certainly blow on up to OT. It's another one-shot clear proposition. Quite interesting. The PC, obviously, has very little thought effect upon his bank. His bank doesn't blow, does it? So let's look at this from a PC's point of view, and let's find out if we could increase the ability of the PC to influence his own bank with postulates. His bank would disinterbulate, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Therefore, the only thing you'd really have to do is just buck this disability on the part of the PC. Just knock it out. So the PC is not sitting there resisting postulates, and therefore incapable of making postulates. The PC isn't sitting there restraining himself from making postulates if you run this thing flat. Now, he's making postulates that the bank will be interbulated because order is natural. There must be interbulating postulates being made all the time or residual in the bank. Well, those are incompleted or resisted intentions of one kind or another. Now, of course, the first overt act on the track, I want to call to your attention, was probably something in this order. You made somebody else's postulates fail. The fellow said, here's a giraffe, and you said, that's no giraffe. I don't see any giraffe. Where's the giraffe? Actually, giraffe standing right in front of you. You say, I don't see any giraffe. Or you mock up a lion on the other side of it and say, come around here and take a look. You'll see you mocked up a lion. The fellow says, my God, my postulates have failed. Get the idea? Making somebody else's postulates fail, then, is the basic overt. Not having your own be made to fail. That, of course, is the motivator. So the basic overt on the track is making somebody else's postulates fail, and this is what you're slogging at when you run what order wasn't followed, or what intention wasn't followed. Got the idea?
Mm-hmm.
So you're running a standard and basic overt act, and it ought to blow a PC loose and square it up. Now, there's other things you can do, and it isn't particularly the main line of auditing, but it is a line which, if followed through, would undoubtedly result in a totally finished product. It's probably the hottest one-shot clear process which has ever been dreamed up. Quite interesting. Quite interesting. But this, of course, had to be dreamed up at this time to solve this peculiarity which was peculiar to all student co-auditing. There's no beingness being granted to the auditor by the PC because he was just a student. Got it? Well, we got that one wrapped up. And I noticed your E-meters were flying around. Now, what I studied all during this time was the characteristic of your E-meters. The tone arm. And your tone arms haven't been moving the way they move in HGCs. How do you like that? They just haven't been moving that fast. And your tone arms weren't moving fast enough, so I've been racking my brains out and so forth, and we've been worrying around about how we're going to get those tone arms wagging. Now, I think under this process, you've seen the tone arms start to wave. They're moving faster. Now, the only thing that you're going to worry about is if the tone arm is unmoving. Now, I'll give you a word of warning. A tone arm won't move if you're running space. Tone arm will stick if you're running space. There's no motion in space. Now, it's liable to stick. When you're assessing for space, for instance, if a tone arm goes still, it's space. Space is registered by a stillness of the tone arm or needle. You got the idea? So maybe if running space, you might not get this wild motion. It might not be a wild motion if you were running space. You got the idea? But anything else, it would. Now, actually, if you ran enough space, the tone arm should simply cool on down to the clear read and stay there, and the second you went on to anything else, spring right off of the clear read. But we want to see the tone arms moving. And watch the tone arm movement. That is your index of what's happening to the PC. Now, of course, it's reflected in the needle motion. But if you were running this one this morning on your tone arms, you saw clearly theta bop starting to occur, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's what order have you resisted? I should let you in on this. What order have you resisted? Well, of course, the PC's resisting the order and intention of his own death, isn't he? Somebody wanted to kill him, so he's resisting death. Well, that locks him up on the track. It's an overt act. He didn't die to accommodate this fellow. He's withholding his own death from a battle. He kills somebody else. He doesn't duplicate. He doesn't get shot down. You get the idea? So, of course, orders go immediately into the theta bop, and you've got more live or die showing up. See? You unlock a fellow on the track with this sort of thing because he's resisting his own death. Now, a fellow who is resisting death, of course, gets locked up in death, and you're trying to make him well, and he's trying to die. Well, you see, so that at the control point here, we get control of goals is what we control at this thing. We get that, but good. But more importantly, we're increasing the ability of the PC to give or follow postulates, to control or handle with postulates. And that's what we're heading at directly. Now, I can tell you that any PC you have failed on, ever, never really did the auditing command. Something was there. He either did it so weakly or so poorly, or through so many circuits, you gave it to him and he gave it to the bank and the bank did it, or something of this sort. It went through so many circuits that you never gave him an auditing command, really. It isn't the process, it is the failure of the command to be executed. Now that's what we're piping up right now. It requires altitude then to run the command down his throat, practically. You see, he isn't following the auditing command. So a little altitude, why, he would. If you had a little altitude, on a unit like this, you don't have that much altitude. So let's attack it otherwise, too. You got it? All right. So, therefore, you'll find now that your tone arm should start moving. And the tone arm should get up to where it should be. The motion of the tone arm should get up to where it should be. Your tone arm ought to really be moving around. As I told you early in the course, it ought to move at least 3 numbers or tones an hour. And you haven't got it up there yet. But you'll have it there. You'll have it there. Now, of course, when I told you that, that's what I get movements on the tone arm. So you just better go ahead and get it, that's all. I won't have people around saying they're not as good as me, okay? All right?
Yeah.
Okay. Report the fact to your instructors if you're not getting tone arm motion on the case. Now, for now, 1.5 tones we'll consider fair. 2 tones we'll consider pretty good. 3 tones we'll consider it's really going nicely. 5 tones, well, we consider you're really swinging and you've got it cracked. Okay? Thank you.